But it's not just say, this is what we don't do because we're Christians. What we're actually saying is, look, God has recreated me. I've been reborn. God wants to recreate everything. You know, God is about recreation. Something new and different and powerful can break in, is breaking into human society here. You know, we are not just believing something different. We are something different. Now that's the challenge, isn't it? So yes, we announce that Jesus is the true way, the true Lord, the true light, the truth, but we have to model it, we have to show it as well. I want to give you an example from the church I go to in Carlisle. Now, I'm not holding us up as a shining light here. You know, we can never be, as I say, accused of organized religion. We're one of the most disorganized churches you can come across. Sometimes we're so disorganized that we stay chatting all morning and never actually get round to the service. But, you know, hey, very laid back. But we do some things, interesting things, and I want to tell you about one or two of them. So we have tried intentionally to model radical generosity in our community in Carlisle. And I think we've succeeded to some extent because if we go on the streets nowadays, we're now known as, oh, you're the church that gives stuff away. Because that's what we've always done. We've fixed people's gardens, we've fixed people's houses, we've handed out presents, we've handed out Christmas presents, Easter eggs, you know, you name it, we give it away. We give money, we give time to people. I don't mean people in the church necessarily, but people outside the church. You know, we have tried to be a people out for all that we can give, rather than a people out for all that we can get, which is so different from the culture, isn't it? And what's interesting about that is not only has it got us an interesting reputation as the church that gives stuff away, but I want to show you how that influences society. So next month, we have our second, what we call Day for the City. Now, this is a thing that was started by our church and is still, to some extent, coordinated by it, but it's involved huge amounts of other organizations and people. So what happens is we've got this kind of week where during this week, people pledge to give a day of their time and their particular skills to do something good for Carlisle, good for the community. So, for instance, we're fixing up the skate park. Now, I don't have any special skills, I'm just painting railings, but builders and people who aren't in the church at all are going to fill in the concrete, holes in the concrete and stuff like this. So, what's interesting is that through this has been taken up so enthusiastically, Day for the City, that lots of people who aren't in the churches are finding out that they actually like doing stuff for other people. That Jesus was right when he said, it's more fun giving stuff away than it is receiving stuff, if you allow me a rather loose paraphrase. You know, when he says it's more blessed to give than to receive, that's what he means. He means it's more fun to give stuff away, right? And non-Christians are finding this out. And something of the kingdom of God is being modeled and discipled into Carlisle. People are catching this vision for generosity. So secondly, second way of discipling Hexham, unbelief has got nowhere to hide when it encounters the undeniable presence and activity of God. I'll say that again because I'm quite pleased with it. Unbelief has nowhere to hide when it encounters the undeniable presence and activity of God. This is stuff about being naturally supernatural, isn't it? It's a bit like, what was your name? Gentleman who shared a testimony before. Dean, yeah, was saying, you know, giving us an example of God actually breaking into a situation. You know, the fact is that people won't take our word for stuff anymore just because we're the church. That days have passed in our society. We've got to accept that. If you say now to somebody, Jesus is alive, they say, oh yeah, show me. Fair enough. Okay, where is he? Show me. I'm going to read another passage. It's from 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 to 5. This is about the sort of people we need to be, in a sense. This is Paul talking. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. Now, you know, I think the reality is that sometimes we have tried to intellectually convince people into the kingdom of God, or we've tried to emotionally convince them to give their lives to Jesus. And the trouble with that is, you know, when you come up against a better counter-argument, you fall away. Somebody cleverer comes up with a better argument against Christianity. That's not going to cut it, is it? And if you've come to Jesus on an emotional wave, as soon as life gets hard, you're likely to fall away. The sort of people we need, the people we need to be coming into the church, need to be coming in because they have really encountered God, because they've encountered the reality of God, the real power of God. Not just a tingly feeling, but they've actually come across the real experience, the real manifestation, the real activity of God, and their faith is based on that. That's what Paul says. I want new converts, he says, people, members, whatever you want to call us, whose faith is based on having seen the real thing, not just an intellectual or emotional moment they were having. So I think one thing the church is beginning to get hold of again is that to be a follower of Jesus doesn't just mean being like him, but it means doing the same stuff that he did. Now, most of us, and I'll hold my hands up completely here, are really learners. You know, I've been a Christian goodness knows how long, a long time. But I sometimes I think this year I don't know anything anymore because I'm like I'm starting again. But at least I know I don't know. At least I know what I don't know a bit more now. I know that I need to be able to walk like Jesus. I need to run in that sort of faith. I need to run in that sort of authority. And I know I'm nowhere near it yet. But, you know, we have to start somewhere, don't we? So I'm not saying we've got it all sorted in Carlisle or I've got it all sorted. We haven't. But we are beginning to see stuff. And one thing's for sure, if we don't believe it, if we don't go for it, we won't see anything. And we can rebuild a community of faith, a culture of faith again that releases the power of God into our cities, into our towns. I mean, fortunately, the same Holy Spirit who empowers us to do supernatural stuff also can teach us, along with Neil and others. Yeah. Now, all this might sound a bit triumphalistic, a bit rah-rah, you know, we can just see all this supernatural power and everything will be fine. But actually, my third point is that we disciple a community by taking up the cross. So being a follower of Jesus, yes, means being somebody who can move in supernatural power like he does, but it also means learning to follow in his suffering as well. So it isn't actually triumphalist, this. Let me predict something. And I don't want to curse you with this, but I do want to sort of give you a biblical sort of warning in a sense. When you start seeing signs and wonders on the streets of Hexham, there will be a backlash. There'll be bits of persecution, there'll be nasty stuff coming back against you. Yeah, because there is an enemy, and there's an enemy who does not want the kingdom of God to displace his kingdom. Does not want good stuff to happen in Hexham, right? He's very happy with Hexham as it is, probably, and does not want it changing. You know, so the fact is that this isn't theoretical anymore. You know, there will... It's interesting. An unpersecuted church is probably because it's an unpowerful church. We tend to think sometimes that power equals victory. Well, yes, it is, but victory in God's way of warfare is life through death. It's victory through suffering. This is a complete upside-downness of the way the world looks at stuff, isn't it? You know, you can't have the power of the cross without embracing its cost. Now, hear me right here. We don't suffer for personal forgiveness. You know, Jesus uniquely bore the cross for our sins. What we suffer for when we take up the cross and embrace the suffering that comes from being radical for Christ, we take it up to release spiritual power to advance the kingdom. And that is the tools of our warfare. Jesus modeled how you defeat the evil one. You defeat him by taking up the cross, by going to the cross if necessary. So we're not, you know, yet this isn't triumphalist. There will be a price to pay, but these are the weapons of our warfare in a sense. It's the cross that releases the power. It's the cross that brings in this new creation, isn't it? That's how evil is defeated and how God's glorified. So finally, the fourth way of influence a community is, well, I say, accentuate the positive. Some of you may remember a very old song to that effect. You know, sometimes the church has to speak against things that are dehumanizing people, that are causing suffering in our society. But any half-decent parenting manual or psychotherapy manual will tell you that you can change behavior by reinforcing what's good. Yeah? And also, it'll tell you that, even secular psychology knows this, that before somebody will hear you bring correction to their life, they've really got to know that you love them and are for them. So you have to do a lot of positive before you can have the right, in a sense, to speak any negative into somebody's life. But the church hasn't always grasped that when it came to the wider society. You know, we have to do a lot of positive. We have to show Hexham that we love Hexham before we earn the right to speak against anything, to have that influence, you know, to perhaps get the council to tone down stuff that we are against. Churches are often, you know, quick to speak against something, but they're not actually quick to positively love and help a city. So I'll just give you just one last example from stuff we've done in Carlisle. We have sought to praise, reward, and serve agencies who are doing good. You know, our human societies are mixed. There's bits of our culture that are definitely evil, and other bits actually that still reflect something of the image of God. So what we try to do in a sense is, where things are being done God's way, we praise, reward, affirm, and serve those things. And we've got to do a lot of that before we have the right to speak against the bad bits. So this may sound quite highfalutin, but it's not actually. It's just about sometimes saying to the council, how can we serve you, rather than setting up agencies in competition, which the church has tended to do. Yeah, churches have sometimes tended to think that anything good being done not by the church actually undermines the gospel. Well, I disagree with that. Right? God's kingdom is bigger than the church. God's kingdom is about, as I say, bringing his ways to society. And the church can actually be positively reinforcing good stuff that's happening. So as part of the sort of giving away of stuff that we do in Carlisle, we target it at times to people in caring roles. You know, we've gone into hospital wards, just gone in and thanked nurses and given them presents. We've thanked shop assistants, we've gone and thanked care workers in homes. You know, and people are often blown away by this. You know, they're not used to people coming in and saying thank you for all the good stuff you do. Thank you for looking after us. Thank you for looking after these people. Thank you for caring. They're social agencies of different sorts. Now, it's often not big, expensive presents. I remember once going to Morrison's and coming out with two trolleys full of Easter eggs, for instance, that we were giving away. You know, I don't know what the lady behind the desk thought we were buying them all for. But anyway. And occasionally, you know, very interesting things can happen. One of my house group, who's completely mad in the right sort of way, actually thanked and gave a present to a traffic warden who burst into tears, actually, because no one had ever thanked her for doing her job before. Now, I'm not going to get into a debate as to whether traffic wardens belong in the image of God or the image of the evil one, but but the fact is that people quite often are extremely emotionally impacted, not just traffic wardens. You know, if you do something like that and say, thank you, social worker, for being a social worker, for doing stuff that actually is in line with God's kingdom in our community. Yeah, so we've kind of tried to do that. So this is yet another way. I'm trying to give examples of how do you disciple, how do you influence Hexham. Okay, so in conclusion then, you know, why did the early church adopt the first day of the week, Sunday, as its day to get together and celebrate, rather than the last day of the week, which was the Jewish Sabbath day? Well, the answer is because we celebrate God's recreation. We celebrate a new creation. We celebrate things starting again. We don't celebrate God's resting from creation. We are celebrating in Jesus new creation. You know, we're not conservatives in the small c, hanging on to some sort of outdated moral concepts, but we actually ought to be radicals, revolutionaries, proclaiming a new way forward for mankind. A more radical and revolutionary message than any Marxist ever had, because we're saying not just a new way for mankind, but a new type of mankind, you know, new bodies, new type of humans here. You know, we're proclaiming a new and better way that releases the power of God to recreate real humanity. So, you know, I want to leave you with this challenge. The challenge is to be new humans in a recreated relationship with God and each other. Thanks. Oh, thank you.